Are you familiar with Brené Brown? She's a researcher and writer. She spent 6 years studying shame before she really began to write about it. She said in a TED Talk, "Shame is a horrible topic. No one wants to talk about it, but it's a good way to shut people down on an airplane." And what do? I study shame. Oh, and I see you. Shame arises from our failures, from our wrongdoings, from our mistakes. We feel shame about things we can't control. We are ashamed of what we've done and what we haven't done. We take it in, and unconsciously, we believe that we are a failure. We are a mistake. We are a wrong. Some of us carry shame from our family systems, or how we fit in or not into our social milieu. Remember middle school and junior high, remember? When peer approval is primary, shame is a constant landmine. We interiorize it, but we also use it as a weapon. Our culture has become alarmingly good at throwing stones at each other. If you spend any time in social media, you will see stone throwing, memes that are funny in the meanest way. And don't ask me to explain what a meme is, ask a teenager. Name calling. Shame is part of what drives bullying, polarization, and violence. And we can't mend ills in our society like racism until we address shame. Brené Brown noticed in her study of shame that men and women experience it differently. Women feel shame because they try to do it all and be it all, and they fail and are ashamed. Men feel shame when they perceive themselves or fear others perceive them as weak. This insight may not work for other gendered people, and there are variations on this depending on the person, of course. But she did find that shame is highly correlated to addiction, depression, violence, aggression, bullying, suicide, and eating disorders. If we will allow ourselves, we can recall our own experiences of shame, large and small. What are the hidden things we don't want to see? Thinking about the role of shame, let's look at the story we heard about the woman taken in the act of adultery. The story makes clear that the religious leaders are using her guilt to trap Jesus so they can bring a charge against him. Our New Testament, our biblical scholar, Dick Rohrbaugh, showed me that from the Torah, in Deuteronomy 17:7, it says, "The hands of the witnesses shall be the first raised against the person to execute the death penalty." And yes, this was a story about a woman facing the death penalty for adultery. And it raises all sorts of questions, like where was the man involved? But Jesus simply says, "Let anyone among you without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Was it shame that made the elders walk away first? Was it shame, one by one, that each person felt as they left, with not a witness left to throw a stone? as the woman stood with Jesus was her relief and terror mixed with guilt and shame. Jesus said, "Where are they? Has no one condemned you? Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, don't sin again." There are at least 10 directions this sermon could go, and I hope that you'll be glad I'm only doing one. But that is on shame and empathy. Because as a people, we are divided, and we need to find our way back to one another. Perhaps the Spirit of Jesus can show us the way to get out from under the suffocating weight of shame. We need empathy. Empathy is the antidote to shame. It's not for us to condemn others. When we think of those who are most undeserving of mercy, and I just invite you to think about those people right now. When we think of the people most undeserving of mercy, those guilty of the worst injustices and hypocrisy, we may even flinch away from the word empathy. The judgment that the other person is so wrong that we can't talk or listen, it's tearing us apart. Even if we are not overtly condemning them, our angry intention hardens our heart and moves us in a destructive path. I've been thinking this week about cursing and the origin of cursing when the power of word is to condemn another person. And I'm going to tell you something I'm ashamed of in myself, and I want you to know this is a negative example, okay? And cover your ears if you don't want to hear profanity. I apologize. Like many people over the past month, since the shooting in Parkland, Florida, my frustration and anger has been very high. And I was listening to the news by myself, and as I heard a report under my breath, I whispered, "Damn them to hell." Now I'd like to share a story of someone who managed similar feelings in a much more Jesus-like way. Gloria Allred is a woman whose life and career has been dedicated to righting wrongs and putting right injustices. She's a women's rights attorney, notable for taking high-profile controversial cases. She's represented clients in civil rights, sexual harassment cases, among others. She's a hero to many, but to some, she's a devil in a red suit. A recent documentary about her showed a story that I want to share. Gloria was marching with thousands of others in the Women's March, and that she was at the Lincoln Memorial. They were standing on the steps, and three skinheads approached her, and one of the men with sunglasses got right in her face. His eyes covered, he shouted, "God's major courtroom is gonna put you in hell, Gloria. Your friends are gonna die. You're gonna be giving eulogies, Gloria. How do you feel about that?" She took a deep breath, and looking at him directly with a clear, strong voice, she said, "I want to thank you for your free speech, which we both treasure. And even though we disagree, I want you to know you matter. I want you to know you matter. Neither do I condemn you." The Spirit of Jesus is mercy. The Spirit of Jesus sees other with God's eyes of love and does not rank people by appearance, by their righteous actions, their chosen doctrines, or even by their worst acts. God's mercy sees the weight of shame and guilt in us and changes us and takes the stones out of our hands so that we can reach out to others. We may not want to hear this story. We may, like the Pharisees, walk away quietly, unable to throw the stone, but still resisting the call to love the other, the enemy. Mystic poet Rumi said this: out beyond the ideas of wrongdoing and rightdoings, there is a field. I'll meet you there.